As I was reflecting on the readings for the Christmas day, all the masses that go with it, something struck me I'd never seen before. Starting with the vigil mass and moving through all four sets of readings that go with the Christmas season, it emphasizes the idea that Jesus is our Redeemer. We always like to focus on Jesus in the crib or the birth of Jesus, but that's not the focus of the Christmas masses. The focus is we have a Redeemer. And so all the Christmas masses beg the same question. Do we want a Redeemer? Do we need a Redeemer? Do we think he's useful to us? It's a major challenge to us, because if we don't think we need a Redeemer, what's the point? Let's move on. But if we do, that changes everything. So let's start out. I think most of us here think that, yes, we need a Redeemer. Otherwise, why would you be here? Maybe you're forced. That's the only other explanation. You come here because there's something worthwhile. And as we saw from the first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, he makes a very important point, a point that we're all stuck in right now. The world is a horrible place. Things aren't going very well. There's a huge amount of darkness that overshadows pretty much everything, and everyone's feeling the effects of this negativity, the darkness of the world. From that very simple starting point, we believe we need a Redeemer. Something needs to be done. We could try and fix it, but our track record isn't very good. But Jesus can. And that's why our starting point is to realize the darkness of the world, the challenges we're already in. That teaches us, in the midst of this night, that we do need a Redeemer. But more importantly, we have to look internally as well. It's not just out there hoping the world becomes this peaceful, happy-go-lucky place. Really, the transformation we want is interior. We also know we are overshadowed by darkness. There's things in our lives that don't go well. We make mistakes, we cause problems, we sin. The world isn't what we want it to be. And so we also know on an internal level, we could use a Redeemer. It'd be nice to know that all that stuff goes away. We can be forgiven. We can be set free from all those trials of our lives. There is a sense in our life we are desperately looking for a Redeemer. Next challenge for us is, do we live in such a way where it makes sense? Do we live our lives in such a way where we want a Redeemer, we care to have one, that we actually need one? Or do we live in such a way that we think, oh, we can do whatever we want and see what happens, it'll be okay? But think of what the gravity of today teaches us. When you talk about desiring a Redeemer, it's not just thinking, oh yeah, it'd be nice to have that happen. But the end goal is what we celebrate, and we celebrate with great joy. If we know that we can be redeemed, if we know that we can be saved, that is a cause for great joy. It brings peace to our lives. It makes us hope for something greater to come. Light overshadows the darkness, which is the other part of Isaiah's reading. There is great joy. The proclamation of the angels. Today a Savior has been born for you, and we should rejoice. So where does that leave us? That's the big question. So let's say you agree with me for a point, and we say, yes, we need a Redeemer. So what do we do about that? We don't really know what that looks like. Pick another example in life where we actually have something like a Redeemer. The closest thing we have is an advocate at court. But I don't go to jail. That's kind of nice. What other examples do we have? Our world is kind of full of this kind of mix of situations where nothing really goes the way we want it to. In that way, though, if we had a Redeemer, we need to respond. It's not just enough for to say, yay, great, I'm free, let's move on. But we want to respond. We want to do something. We want to feel like we can be grateful for what has happened to us. And that's where I challenge you today. How do we be grateful for the gift of Jesus? How do we return the gift he has given us? If he has given us salvation, he's given us freedom, he's given us hope, he's given us light in the midst of our darkness, we should respond. So what kind of gift can you give Jesus? I'll be a little funny for a moment. Would a toy truck work? Do you like my idea? What about a doll? How about a gift card? Here, Applebee's, $25, go have fun. Doesn't work that way, does it? God doesn't work in the same milieu that we use all the time. We have to think differently. What does Jesus want? What would he want from us? The answer is very simple. I'll give it to you. If you think I'm wrong, come talk to me. But I really do think I'm right. He wants to hear your voice. He wants you to pray. He wants to hear about the things of the world. Because if we're willing to talk to him about what's going on in our lives, the world around us, that means it matters to us and it matters to him. Now we're on the same talking points. We agree on the same issue, that we have something worth working towards, some good in the world that we can work towards, undoing the darkness, bringing God into light, whatever it might be. This is our great challenge. Start with that conversation. God wants to hear your voice. You're His beloved. You're His sons and daughters. You're in you He delights because you are special to Him. Let Him hear your voice. More than that, give Him your time. We always think of time in various weird ways. There's certain things we cannot do with time. We can't add it, we can't subtract it, and it keeps going whether we like it or not. So time is our most valuable resource. It's the one thing we can't change. In that way, though, we can use our time in such a way as to change, transform the things around us, starting with using our time for the sake of coming to know God. If we really want to understand who He is, we must spend time, which means our greatest gift to Him is just to give Him our time. It means that we stopped all the other stuff in the world to say nothing else is more important than being here with You. Guess what? You've already done that. Yay, congratulations. That's why we're here, right? But nevertheless, recognizing the value of our time and that we can use that time not just to encounter God, but through God, help to redeem the world through Him. Praying is not just some action where we're like, hey God, I need stuff, or hey God, look at this. But even the sacrifice of our time can help people in the world. That's how valuable these things are. We can transform the world through our prayer, through coming to know God, through letting it transform us, so people can know through us there's a reason to be redeemed. Lastly, and the one we often forget, is the same thing you've all done well today. Congratulations. You've come here. The Mass. What does the Mass do? Transforms the world. Through the Mass, graces flow out into the world, transforming everything around us, as though this big waterfall opened up on our ceiling, which I hope not, because that's going to cause me serious problems. But if a big waterfall opened up and just like spread across Townsend, that's kind of what we're doing. When we're here, we're doing the one thing God wants. He wants us to worship Him. And the best way we worship Him is to offer the Son to the Father. That's what we're doing. The symbol of bread and wine remind us that when it becomes the body and blood of Christ, we are offering it back to the Father as the greatest gift that can be. The whole world summed up in Jesus, then offered to the Father, and therefore transformed and restored to what it was supposed to be. This is the greatness of what we celebrate. We're not just here because Jesus was born. We're here to celebrate the fact that because Jesus was born, we can be redeemed. We can have a Savior. The world can be different. This is so immensely exciting. We have to believe it and know that. Here is the beginning of that transformation. Here the graces flow. Here the world is changed. Here we experience that firsthand. This is what's so exciting and why I encourage you so much to really reflect on these questions. The questions that the Christmas day challenges us. Do we want a Redeemer? Do we feel like we need a Redeemer? If so, what are we going to do about that? How are we going to comply, thank Him, and use the graces He gives us to make the world a better place, to bring His light into all those darkened areas so that people may know, not just us, others may know, that there is value in having a Redeemer.